James wasn't lying when he said that you'll preach for me. Because I had a lot of voices in here. I had a big village that was uplifting me. I had a husband in the middle of the night listening to my sermon, and he cut it in half. He said, Cicely, preach the word. So y'all are in for something better than it would have been if he wasn't there. So thank y'all for being here. I just wanted to talk about like how I got here. So a few weeks ago, Pastor James, he brought a few people up. He brought up Rena, Keith, Karen, and Giovanni. Do y'all remember that when he brought them up? Because he wanted the folks from the church to preach as well. He wanted us to hear each other's voices. He had us in small groups so we can talk to each other and get to know one another. And it was in that moment that I was inspired to preach today. If it wasn't for that moment, and I'm very grateful, Pastor James, for using a different process, because we're all very different, for us to learn, and that was inspiring. And so I just want to introduce a call to be present. With that, I'm going to share what I shared with my small group. So about 20 years ago, I was in Fresno, California, in a parking lot, and I know a lot of you here were probably toddlers. But around 20 years ago, I was in a parking lot looking for parking. I was just like circling the parking lot and just circling it and just nothing. There was no parking spot. Mind you, like the pandemic, people are driving less, but then everyone was driving. And so I slowed down for a moment and I heard, "Be still and know I am God." And I'm like, huh? Like, be still and know that I am God. Okay. So I slowed down a little bit, then I just stopped because I'm like, that's kind of funny. And right before my eyes, a car steps on their brake. You can see the red lights. And then they're yellow because they're reversing. And here's this car. Reverses right out of the parking spot at just the right time. And in that moment, that's when I felt God. But there's many more moments than that. But if it was during that small group that I remembered that thing first. I was like, okay, God is present. So as we're going through this series, A Call of Our Heart, I want to share with you that for me, it's a call to be present. It's that being still and knowing that God is God. And I want to be present with Jesus. And I want to be present with community. And I want to be present with y'all. So I'm just praying that this will resonate with some of y'all who want to be more present and get to know God more and more. And just thank y'all again for allowing me to be here this morning. So this morning, I'm sorry, media team, I might walk around. this morning, I'd like to share the story of when Jesus visits Mary and Martha. We're going to look at the historical, the social, and the gender dynamics. And amidst these tensions, Jesus closes silos and margins and shares what being present with him is. And each of us can also be present with God. So as we continue learning to be present with God and seeing how being present with God is possible, we'll move toward a more practical application on how we too today can be present. During this time of Lent and during this time of Black History Month, a time that personifies both celebrations and also injustices, I know that this is the perfect season for us to stop and be present with God. We can sit at God's feet and we can delve and appreciate Jesus's incarnational presence. So let's start with the scripture. The scripture comes from Luke 10:38 through 42, and I'm reading from the NRSV version of the Bible. And it says, "Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, You are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. This is the word of the Lord. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for sustaining us day in and day out. Father God, I pray for everyone who's sitting here, Lord Father, that they would get a glimpse of what the kingdom is like. They would get a glimpse of heaven. Father God, and I just pray that everyone here yearns more and more for you and wants to be more and more like you. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So, in observation of this story, it's a brief story. What we see is Jesus traveling, and when he enters a certain village, which is known as Bethany, Jesus is welcomed by Martha into her home. Remember, she's the sister of Lazarus and Mary. In Martha's home, Martha is diligently preparing a meal for Jesus. She's distracted, but she has this beautiful discipline of hospitality. While Mary, on the other hand, she just gives herself away, and she just sits at the feet of Jesus. Martha is so caught up in her busyness that she wants Mary to help her. So she pleads to Jesus to help. She tells Jesus, "Tell my sister to help me." Yet Jesus shares with Martha and Mary, "Mary has chosen the better," learning from Jesus. And so with that, I want to go over a few moments who Mary of Bethany is. She's always present at the feet of Jesus. Mary of Bethany was present at Jesus' feet three times in the Gospels. First in Luke 10:39, second in John 11:32, and finally in John 12:3. In these three instances, we can see the importance of Mary being present with Jesus. In these instances, she was listening, she was lamenting, and she was anointing Jesus' feet. And so I'm going to paraphrase those three things from the Bible. I'm going to pull the scripture just so you know where she was doing these things. So I'm going to go back to Luke 10, where she was learning. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what Jesus was saying, Jesus said there's only one thing that she needed. Mary chose the good. Mary chose the better part, and that was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was listening, she was becoming more knowledgeable of what the gospel is. I mean, she had full access to what the true gospel is in incarnational form. So the second time, she was mourning and lamenting. And so I'm going to paraphrase a big portion of text in John 11, because I want to set it up so that you know why she was at Jesus' feet again. So in John 11, Lazarus of Bethany, brother of Mary and Martha, became ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus about this. As he loved Lazarus, Jesus was not worried and waited a few days to travel to Bethany because he mentioned that the illness did not lead to death. Rather, it would be used for God's glory. So when Jesus knew that Lazarus had died, he let the other disciples know. He had to let them know because they had to change their route when they were traveling. And so in that moment, when they changed the route to travel, Jesus shared about the resurrection. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus was already laid in the tomb 4 days. Martha finds out that Jesus arrived to Bethany, and then she tells Jesus, "If you had been here, if you were present, then he would not have died." But then in verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." Martha agrees in what Jesus is saying, and she shares this. She goes and gets her sister and lets her sister Mary know that Jesus wants to see her. So when Mary hears this, Mary sprints out. She just goes. She just drops it all. She's crying at home. There's a group of people there with her who are mourning. And she just quickly stops and goes. And those people who are consoling her and those who are mourning alongside her, they just go follow because they're like, maybe she's mourning at the tomb as well. So when Mary sees Jesus, she falls at Jesus' feet and tells Jesus the same thing that Martha told him. Jesus, if you were just present, if you were here, Lazarus would not have died. So Mary weeps. Mary's in the moment. I'm not a good crier, so it's hard for me to be in the moment, but I could see that, like, she was weeping. She was in the moment. She was filled with emotion. And then at that time, Jesus is like, where is Lazarus? So he goes to Lazarus's tomb, and he sees the man who was dead for 4 days and tells him to rise up. And he rose. So that's why, for the second time, Mary was at Jesus' feet. Mary was lamenting, Jesus, if you were present, my brother would not have died. So let's just remember that. The first time she was there, getting that knowledge from Jesus. The second time she was lamenting. And this third time she was worshiping and anointing Jesus. Mary of Bethany is at Jesus' feet in John 12, 1 through 8. And I'm going to read the full passage. The word says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary poured a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? And then Jesus says, because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, he kept the common purse and used it to steal. Jesus said, leave her alone. Look, he's defending her again. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. So that's the third time. She's anointing and worshiping God. But let me tell you, these three things are ways to worship. We can worship by reading the word, by getting that knowledge. We can lament, we can pray. And we can also worship God with these costly oils or perfume, like Andrew and the whole group did this morning. They perfumed the room with the Spirit of God. And it's in those moments that we realize we're called to be present with Jesus. Amidst the noise, Mary seeks relationship with Jesus. Amidst the noise and the chaos of a brother dying, the chaos of those gender norms being there where she shouldn't have been there because women weren't taught the Torah. Mary falls to Jesus' feet as a form of worship. She quietly listens to the words spoken in Luke 10. She weeps bitterly at Jesus' feet in John 11 and gives her all worshiping his feet. She defies these gender norms and has full access to Jesus, full access. There's this unhindered access to Jesus. So one is gender. So Martha, she takes on that gender norm, right, where she's preparing a meal for Jesus, and that's a form of service, and that's a good thing. But she could have defied that because she could have been like her sister and learned and really been present with God. Her sister Mary learns because she's disregarding those norms. She doesn't feel like she needs to prepare that meal because she's present with God. And even when Lazarus died, right, she runs to Jesus quickly. She's present with God, and it doesn't matter that he's a male. I'm going to run there, and I'm going to tell him, God, you should have been here. Another thing that happens is the cultural norms, they shift. There's access to the word. Like I said, women weren't taught Torah. But that culture shifts with Jesus. Jesus presents this upside-down kingdom where the culture doesn't have to remain the same. Where Mary quickly sits and learns, she's called to be present again. She just sits there. I mean, she doesn't care. This upside-down kingdom helps relinquish those cultural norms. Mary, who's quasi-present, she's more focused on those other things. Therefore, she calls Mary out. But it's like, why do they need to continue following those rules and laws of one thing is selling all your possessions and giving those the money to the poor. But when Jesus is with you, like, some things do shift. It's time to be present with God. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom leadership, it calls Mary to be present. Jesus explains to Martha that what this would not be taken from her, and that the word of Jesus is in incarnational form. Martha had equal access, but contrary to Martha's actions, Mary at the moment is hiding the word. She's learning the word and focusing on the word, so it will always be with her. But that's just a brief background that stood out to me. What really resonated with me was the idea of defying gendered norms. Because I just think about my own experience. I remember being in the fifth grade in youth group, and one of my youth pastors, she told me, your voice is not going to be heard like it is from a man. And so I don't know if she was trying to warn me or like put me in my place. I really don't know. But what happens is that type of thing clearly was cyclical, and that kept presenting itself to me over and over again, not just because of gender. Not just because of gender, it was also like race, class, education, size. There's so many different things that we all deal with, and I know I'm not the only one here who has something that you've had to deal with, because in this world, the world thinks different than what Jesus thought. So a lot of times we don't get that gig, or a lot of times we don't get that job because there's a specific face for that play, or there's a specific face to be a CEO. But Jesus defied those norms. Even if you've been ousted and you've had those silos, you've had those windows closed, you've had those doors shut, and those ceilings even raised, Jesus, for Mary, shatters all of these ceilings, shatters all of these red lines. And I'm just like, God, why are we so caught up in the world that we don't see that what's most important beyond that promotion, beyond what we can do, Lord Father, we have access to you. And I think beyond all of this, and this is what really hit me the most, I was like, God, we just need to be present with you. All these other things, you're working it out. But we just need to be present with you. But let's look at Mary again. She sees these silos, right? But she thinks nothing of them. Unapologetically, she sits at Jesus' feet. She doesn't say, I'm not a man. She just sits there. And you see, we have a God that continues to present this upside-down kingdom to us, a God that continues to promote and have a preference for the poor, the marginalized, those who don't fit in the normal standards. We have a God that has a preference for things that even I may have a bias towards, But we have a God that continues to uplift and relinquish all of these thoughts that we may have. So therefore, I'm grateful and I'm humbled each day to be serving a God who continues to let us love him and continues to develop relationship with us for his kingdom. And I'm wondering, like, what does this mean to you? What is this call to be present? I'm gonna give you a second because we're all in different places here. We all come from different parts of the city, the county. But what is it to you? Yes, I presented my thing. It's gender, class, race. It could be all of those things. What is it to you? I'll give you like 10 seconds. You need more than 10? I wonder how many of you here resonate with Martha, or how many of you resonate more with Mary, or maybe you don't resonate with either, but in your heart you're wondering and questioning God, how can I be more and more like you? How can I sit at your feet and grasp your word? How can I give myself away? How can I do this in a contemporary way where the Jesus we know has died and has been raised? You've been resurrected. So maybe I can't sit at your feet physically, but God, I know you are here. How many are you wondering? How many of you are wondering how you can be present during Black History Month? More present during Lent. More present with your friends, your family, and your coworkers. More present with your neighbors. There are many ways we can all be present. And for one, we can just be with one another. We can walk alongside one another, even if it's literally a walk. I mean, I've scheduled a few walks in this room. So I'll be seeing y'all soon. We're called to hang out with our brothers and sisters, our family here at church. Maybe you're going through something and you just can't be present. Maybe you're checked out, but just know there are amazing people sitting on either side of you, and they may have gone through the same struggles you're going through. There's also that intercessory prayer on Wednesday, a good plug for you. I go, I love it. And they could be praying with you and alongside you. These are just some simple ways to be in community here at church. And with that, I also want to share some practical ways that we can be present with God. Just because we can't always be here downtown in the church, at the church offices, there's a lot of times we're in our own spaces, in our own homes. And we all have competing priorities. So I want to share a few of those practical ways that some of you may already be doing because we're practicing prayers and stuff during Lent. But I'd quickly like to go over these prayer disciplines. One being stillness, another meditating, and another listening. And it's been a blessing for me to be still and know God. I mean, God stopped me when I was at the parking lot just to get that stall. And it's just that moment. The Holy Spirit prompts. The Holy Spirit whispers. If we were all just a little more present, we could hear God. So the first one I'll go over is being still and slowing down. And I've pulled these from Adele Calhoun, the Spiritual Disciplines Handbook. I love that. There's so many great disciplines to go over. So I just pulled three of them for the sake of time because that book is like 300 pages. Oh, I guess y'all didn't want to be here that long. So the first one is being still and slowing down. So the verse that she pulls is from Psalm 46:10, the one that I went over earlier. Be still and know that I am God. And what she presents is to curb our addictions to busyness. and workaholism and to learn to savor the moment. And for me, the pandemic was really bad. I was working from home and I was working 9 to 14 hours a day because I'm a conflict of interest manager, so our investigators were submitting proposals all of the time because they were at home and they had time, then they weren't in their labs doing their experiments. So that just increased my workload, so I was trying to keep it down. And that was detrimental, not just to my mental health, but my physical health. And it was in the moment that I realized it's time to be still and know that I am God. And that has changed and shifted a lot. I have a praise report, I have a new job. And I know one of my new coworkers is online, so thank you, y'all are nothing but a blessing. They're nothing but a blessing. They've helped me slow down, they've helped me become a whole human at work, so, and I've only been there a month. But yeah, that's one of the disciplines that we could use. Another one is meditating and devotional reading. The scripture that she uses is, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And that's Psalm 119:103. So whether you're you read silently or aloud, that's God. And I know some people in here may think, "I don't hear God. I don't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't hear the promptings." Open up your Bible and you'll hear it. It's very simple. Just, who knows? I could have just read that other scripture and it just came out. But that Holy Spirit is in the Word, the true and living Word. The third one is listening prayer. So take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. So this is to quiet the inner and outer noise so that I can open my heart and listen to God's voice. And I think this one is very important. We live in a hectic and chaotic world here in Los Angeles. I really like downtown. I really do. I live 4 miles away. My family, we live near USC. But I came to church accidentally on Friday. But I got a good glimpse of what Friday would be about. And it was just like a lot of like craziness going on. It's just things that I enjoy because it's like I see my family, right? And I'm just like, God, I'm missing this in my world over there. And I'm only 4 miles away. But it's in those moments that I could hear and see God and just see how community happens. Like there's the hustle and bustle. There's like a culture of everyone doing something. I just love it. But it's just being quiet and knowing that God's presence is there. And what I'm going to leave you with and just summarize with is just to encapsulate this whole thing like in a few sentences. I'll share that when Jesus visited Mary and Martha in Luke 10:38 through 42, barriers were broken in an upside-down kingdom way in which Mary's unhindered access to Jesus and through his teachings. It's through Jesus' upside-down kingdom leadership that draws us to be present with God, family, and community. And so today, I just pray that you're called to be present today and always. And I'll pray. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here in this place. Thank you for touching each and every person here. Father God, I know everyone here has a story. I know everyone here has something they may be going through. But Father God, I just pray that they can find that moment, that solitude, that stillness, where they can be present with you and hear your voice and hear your call for them. Father God, just thank you, and we lift your name up today.